Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 459. I don't know. I'm not sure. I am Chris. I'm sure I am Chris, but I'm not sure what the episode number is. Tony is not here, so probably something as always.
Is Tony anywhere?
I don't know.
I mean, in the logical sense, because I mean, I've not heard from him since he was stuck in the airport. So I don't know if he's still at the airport. I don't know if he's up in the air. I don't know if he's landed.
It could be a Langolier situation where he got sucked into back in the time.
He could be crashing on an island in hostile. There's just so many possibilities.
I mean, like, it would be very weird for him to crash on an island.
I mean, but the office is weird.
Or something. Yeah. I mean, he could also be, what was that thing that happened in the Andes Mountains? I think they made a movie Alive about it, like where they crashed and they eat each other. He could do that in the Rockies, I guess. Like,
the dude ate the other dude's ass.
I mean, that's a meaty portion, so.
I was going to say, there's a lot of people who do that for fun anyhow, but.
Well, this isn't one of those situations, though. Yeah, it was
just... yeah, he was actually eating the flesh.
He ate that ass out, literally.
There wasn't anything left when he was done. We're not sure where Tony is. He could be in the air. But Earl is here.
Howdy.
And so is Jeff.
I think we've reached the peak of this episode.
Yep, it's done.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for joining us.
It's not going to get any better than that. Just wrap it.
Yeah. But I do want to talk about Dr. Mario World.
Yeah. Is it good?
The new iOS game. Have you played Candy Crush?
No.
Never played Candy Crush game? Nope. Jeff, you're not. Tony's not here. No? Okay. Have you ever played a match 3 game?
Absolutely.
It's that.
Which I was surprised by, because none of that screams I guess Dr. Mario is a match 3, but not the way they do it.
Yeah, like the actual Dr. Mario, right? Like one, you don't have control over the capsules. Like, you can rotate them, but they just keep spitting out, I guess. And you try and match them to the viruses. In this one, you kind of like have control of them, and you're matching them to the virus going up.
Yeah.
But you can slowly drop them, I guess. You can drop them up. Doesn't make any sense, but you'd float them.
More importantly, is this free?
Completely free.
All right.
There's timers, though. There are like energy timers, so
sweet timers.
Do you know how they work, Earl?
I've not gotten really past the tutorial, because this does the one thing that mobile games can't do for me, and that's that it does not work in the subway.
Oh yeah, it does need to be connected for whatever reason. It's really weird.
Yeah, so usually that's a deal breaker for me, because the only time I really play mobile games is during my commute. Yeah. And it's like, there are some games where it's like you have to connect, which I'm fine with if it's like just connect once and you can play whatever. But this seems to always check your connection.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's because, so if you're still playing the tutorial, you haven't unlocked the versus mode yet. There is a there's a competitive mode that you can toggle to and play. And I assume you would have to play that online, but I don't know why you couldn't play single player by itself.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I got it with Mario Run because you had to have... Well, actually, I didn't get it with Mario Run because you purchased the game. Like, once you purchased the game, it should just be unlocked on your system. But yeah, this one is like, you have to be online. And I was playing the tutorial, and... I'm like, oh, let me just settle down. I got, like, you know, my commute's like 25 minutes or so. I got time, and it's like, nope, you're under a tunnel, so you're screwed. I'm like, okay, so we're done here.
That sucks. Yeah, so I've played more than the tutorial. I've cleared the first world, which is 40 levels. They don't take long. But if you've ever played Candy Crush, like, those levels don't take long. Like, they get progressively harder, so they will start taking time. And that's where the life bar comes in. If you fail a level, you lose a life. And it's, I think the timer's on like a 20-minute or 30-minute reset. So for you to get all your lives back, like, it takes 2.5 hours or something like that.
Mm. So, I mean, it's kind of very similar to, like, Candy Crush, but I also imagine it's not, like, you don't need all your life to continue the game.
But what do you mean?
Like, you know, like, for Candy Crush, for instance, you get 5 lives, I think.
Yes.
But you don't need a max of 5. Like, if, let's say you wait 1/2 hour and you get 1 back, you can continue one.
Yeah, so, like, the timer starts as soon as you lose a life. So, like every 1/2 hour, you're gaining a life. Like, if you burn through all 5 of yours, like, for you to get all 5 lives back, it's going to take 2.5 hours. But otherwise, you could play a game every 1/2 hour.
Okay, so here's the most important thing for me in that system. And, I mean, I already said the whole online thing, it's kind of a deal breaker. But this is also, depending on how it does it. For the lives, is it anytime you start a level, you lose a life? Or is it only if you fail?
Because every time you start a level, it takes a life. But if you complete the level, it gives it back.
Okay. Then I'm fine with that. I don't like the ones where it's like, even if you complete it, that's a life.
Yes.
But if it's like you could go until you fail like 5 times in a row, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I played it for like 45 minutes, like this afternoon, early evening. And like, I eventually lost all my lives, but like, I was able to play like 20 levels or so in that time span. So yeah, it's like, you'll eventually lose them, you know, if you suck at the game like I do. But yeah, it's not like, oh, you can only play 5 levels and now you're done. Come back in 1/2 hour.
And I don't know how far you got into the game. And that, well, you said you're like the first world.
Yeah.
But do you unlock the other doctors? Have you unlocked the other doctors?
So you pick a doctor very early on. Like, I think your choices are Mario, Peach, and Bowser. After you make that selection, everything gets locked. And then you can unlock them using coins in what I guess – I mean, actually, I don't guess. Like, it's a loot box. Like, it seems random. Like, you give them 4,000 coins, and they will give you a random character. And it can be either an assistant, which gives you boosts – or it can be a different doctor, and the different doctors have different special moves, special powers, like when their meter fills up. So like Mario he'll clear the bottom line, whereas Bowser will clear, I believe, 2 lines, but they're random. So it could be any 2 lines. And Peach has something similar as well. But no, you can't just like use your coins to buy a new doctor. You get them randomly in some loot box type system. So this is straight up mobile game, like typical mobile game. But I like it. I'm having fun with it. And I remember I played like maybe 300 or so levels of Candy Crush before finally quitting. So. And I think there's like 1,000 levels of that.
Yeah, there's a Candy Crush does very end at somebody who's put in way too much time in Candy Crush and Candy Crush Saga. And the fact that I know the difference.
I don't. I have no idea. I didn't know there was a difference.
Yes. Soda adds an element where like a liquid might come into play. And that can sometimes reverse, like things will like fall up instead of dropping down and stuff like that. And then you can form a different type of block in Soda that you can't in Saga. But this is not the Candy Crush podcast, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, the gameplay is very similar to like Candy Crush or something like maybe Bubble Witch. But you have a little more control over. Like Bubble Witch is more like aiming and shooting the ball to match the the things to pop them, and Candy Crush is more like you're matching the three. This is kind of like a mix of both, but it's something to play, like when not doing anything, I have is my phone.
How is the music?
I like it. I like, well, at least the main theme, like, and that World 1 music. I haven't really played any in World 2, but World 2 is the desert level.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So I like the main theme, and I liked World 1's music. We'll see how it goes going forward, but it's free, so there's that.
Yeah. I might try it out. I like Dr. Mario enough. Not big, I don't really play any games on my phone, but if I were, it would be something like that. So
yeah, it's not, I enjoyed, Mario Run, but, yes. This is more your typical like phone game. Like you don't really have to pay a ton of attention to it.
Downloaded that Blades game, Elder Scrolls game,
That too. I don't necessarily like that.
It sat on my phone for like 3 weeks, and one day I just delete. I never even opened it. I never even fucking touched it. I just don't play games on my phone. Even that Animal Crossing, which I know a lot of people thought sucked, I barely gave it a chance. I played it for like a half an hour. I was like, all right, I guess. But I can see playing like a Dr. Mario type game. But it sounds like you guys are kind of mixed on what you think of it.
Well, I would also heed that you're not going into a Dr. Mario game. Mario is closer to, technically it's closer to Puyo Puyo Tetris, but yeah. Puyo Puyo, not Tetris, sorry, than it is to anything else. And this game is not that. Because, like Chris said, one, you're moving the blocks upwards. And two, I think the biggest thing is you're moving the blocks. It's a continuously falling thing.
Yep. Yeah, like you take your time, you move one pill at a time, and you can set it how you want. You can only go up with it or left or right, and you can rotate it, but the further up you go, you can't go back. So you can't draw it all the way up and go, I want to change my mind, move it back down here. It has to be on the same plane as where the top portion of it is, I guess. But yeah, it's not necessarily Dr. Mario. It's just it's styled that way. It's more of a match three, I guess Dr. Mario is match three, but yeah, it's more, it's a different pace to it. Different type of game.
No.
Okay. Earl, you played Path of Exile. I'm interested in this. It's like a Diablo type game, right?
Yeah, it's a free-to-play Diablo game. It's pretty much that, a free-to-play Diablo game. Very similar classes and stuff like that. So, that's kind of what you're getting into. You pick, I think right now, there's six different classes you can pick from. Each one has unique abilities. I started off as a witch, which is more of a kind of magical. It's a mixture of a magical creature and kind of the necromancer from a Diablo. So you can, have minions or other creatures that assist you and stuff like that. And you go through and you kill various hordes of the undead in different combinations and different locations with different attributes and stuff like that. What am I trying to say? What I find most fascinating about it, I guess, is it has for lack of a better word, a very frightening skill tree. Most RPGs or most games like this, you kind of get the skill tree, and you have to understand how it works. But it's kind of a straightforward path, really. You pick the segment you're going to follow. On and move along this is really kind of a neuron. There's a central hub, and then it just branches out everywhere, and I swear it just feels it keeps going and going and going, and it's almost
intimidating to look at it. And, like, I'm only like,
what, 7 or 8? And just looking at that, I'm just like, I don't know how I'm supposed to fill out even half of this. And I don't know if that's what they're going for, if the idea is that, like, you know, you reach a certain level and then you just keep min-maxing the character, so you'll gain XP and skill points, but you won't level up more. And, like, right now, the skill tree, I'm still, like I said, really early on. A lot of it is not even anything fancy. It's just like, oh, here is 10% more damage to magic, or here is you regain mana 2 seconds faster or something like that. And it's a lot of those where it's repetitive until you unlock another tier, and then, like, you might get something new, or you might just get more of those tiers until you unlock another tier. And it's like, I'm curious to see what happens when it opens up a bit more. Let's see. The other thing I find surprising, which I was happy for, is that actually, you know, it's pretty fast in between zones, because it's one of those games where, you know, you have a central hub and you go between zones and areas to find new enemies and quests and stuff like that. And for the most part, anything we went to, the loading time was like 5 seconds or so. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's nice, like, that it's nice and quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the game has been around for a little bit now, like 6 years, so.
Yeah, it's free to play, but, you know, it's really just to kind of give background, I was trying to find a game to play with my friends. I was going to do Gears of War, which, like, I guess Chris will speak to in a second, but that needed an update.
Yep.
And there was another game that I was trying to look into that needed an update. And these updates are
the entire size of the game.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe I did something wrong with my Xbox, because I could have swore I set it up so that it updates automatically, but does it only update games you're actively playing?
Yeah, so that, I guess that's the hook on that. I thought that it was supposed to just update all your stuff, but it seems like it kind of parses to, like, stuff that you've recently played. If you haven't played it, it partitions it out.
I don't know if it's like the last 10 games you've played, or like whatever games you've played over the last month, but it does limit it to, like, whatever is recently, like, it considers recently played.
Which, I mean, part of that makes sense in that, like, okay, like, because if it would eat into your hard drive. But at the same time, just like, part of the reason I set it up is so that I wouldn't have this on my system.
I don't
have
to do this? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, it is, like, if you have data caps, also, it's a good thing probably to have. But it's, again, like you said, I turned it on, just do it for fucking whatever, dude. If it's on my hard drive, do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would prefer, like, I have it set up, like, that's what I want it to do, because I want to be able to jump into Destiny whenever I want. I want to be able to jump into Gears of War, which I haven't played in 2 years. Like,
yeah, or the worst one, and I think Gears of War did this for me, is that it's like, oh, here's an update. Okay, you start the game, and then it's like, oh, you need an update. Then what the hell was I doing before?
Well, so I think for Gears specifically, like, you know, they've updated a ton of it over time, but they did just, like, put out a smaller game update. It was not like a normal, like, patch. It was, I guess, something smaller that had triggered when you went in to play it. And it wasn't just like the maps and the game fixes. I'm not sure if they were adding stuff for this Road to Gears 5 thing or whatnot, but yeah, I got it last night, and Walt got it as well. And I've been playing Gears for the last, like, week and a half. And so it's going to update automatically for me, and it needed it. Like, once I jumped into the game, it kicked me back out, which was weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But speaking of Gears, I played more than a little bit, but we played Horde last night. Walt and I did, with some randoms. We played the new, what they call Horde Light, which is, it's a 25 round set of Horde, and instead of boss levels every 10 levels, it's every 5, so it's kind of like
scaled down to, like, half of what
Yeah, but it's all accelerate. Like it's faster than like, you know, cause a full round of 50 takes, I don't know, 2.5-3 hours if
yeah.
you're playing it. But and this took us, you know, to do the 25, I don't know, maybe about 45 minutes to an hour. Which is more manageable.
Yeah.
No. But it does ramp up very quickly because you're getting the bosses quicker.
I was going to say, in that regard, do they also ramp up or ramp down like requirements for bigger weapons? Because the whole idea is that you go through, you know, several rounds and then you earn enough money to unlock some of the better weapons and
And you can upgrade your turrets to like level 2 or level 3.
Yeah.
I do know that like I wasn't building anything. I was just collecting the money and dropping it off, but Walt did say that our engineer, who I think is the only one that can upgrade the pieces, he must have upgraded the manual turret to level 3 and it cost 37,000 credits. So, I will say that in both games that we played, we were never like worried about having turrets and barriers. So I don't know if they drop money faster, like, or more money in it. Because, you know, by level 10 in regular Gears, like you have a good amount of, you have a good bank. And in this, like we had a good bank by level 5. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun still. we're hoping that we can get some of you guys to play it so we could have a full team of 5 that's just us. Yes. And not randoms.
And I joined just a little late because I was finishing up Path of Exile yesterday, so hopefully I will get to that this weekend.
Yes. I'm not sure if like you had asked if you could join up in the middle of a match. I'm not sure. Like the first match we actually, at the end of it, by level 15, Walt and I were the only two left. Everybody else had quit. But in the second one, nobody quit. And so we went all the way to 25 that way. I like that they made, like they call it Horde Light. I like that they, like, cut it down, though. Like, here's a baby, not a baby version of Gears, but like a more manageable version of Horde. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just saying, I'd be more inclined to play that. Less time commitment, you know.
Yeah, because, like, even though we end up playing for a couple hours anyway, like, they're
bite-sized chunks, man.
Yeah, and there's something, like, just disheartening about getting to, like, level 48 or 49, mm-hmm. and then, like, we're out of cash, we can't build anything, we're never going to survive these final two rounds, and then you just end up quitting. You don't feel like you succeeded. At least if you get to 25, like, oh, well, you know, it was, we still spent a lot of time on it, but not as much. And it doesn't feel like.
How long would you say a full rate or full horde takes, like 50 rounds?
I think when we ran to 50, back when they, you know, back when it came out a couple of years ago, I think like our run to 50 was maybe 3 hours.
Something like that. And then, I mean, I don't think we ever finished it because like we got up to around either 49 or 50 and then we got demolished. And like once that happens, you really can't do anything because you have no money. All your equipment's done. You can start the round again, but it's like, what are we supposed to do differently this time?
Yeah. Have you ever gotten like emotional attack? Can you like throw your controller at one of these moments?
I don't have what do they call it, the heated gamer moments.
Gamer that stuff, rage.
That stuff is way too expensive for me to be tossing around.
I never threw my controller, but like I've like very rarely I'll like fucking lose it and just kick my coffee table like god fucking damn it. Like, you know, like I just fucking go ape shit, but yeah, I'm very careful to never throw my controller.
I haven't had that happen. I mean, I've never been like throwers, but with multiplayer, like competitive multiplayer, I will like curse up a storm. I was just having a bad night, and there's a mode in Gears called Escalation, which is best of 13, King of the Hill. There's some like other rules involved in it as well, but it's basically like a King of the Hill that you have to win 7 rounds of. And I couldn't get anything going. And it's just like, it was like, if I was a controller thrower, that would have been when it happened. But yeah, Gears, still a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to the new mode in Gears 5 Escape. Actually, there's a Gears 5 test coming up next weekend.
Okay, I was confused by that. Maybe I'm not confused. It's for pre-orders, right? Does that include people who have Game Pass?
Yeah, if you have Game Pass, you have access to the test as well.
Okay, so I'm going to try to do that.
Let's see what else we got here. You played some Overwatch. That's another competitive shooter.
That is a competitive shooter. It is the competitive shooter.
My son would say that. That's pretty much all he plays anymore.
Still? Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the game is still... I don't think we have it in the news. But I know they had an update today about the Summer League, which is always... they have the summer and holiday things, which is like the two big things where they get new costumes and stuff like that. And they said they're working on a new character, but that person's not due to come out anytime soon. But yeah, the game is still extremely, extremely, extremely popular. And I mean, for good reason, it still remains a really solid and I think mostly well-balanced hero shooter. And what is it? What is it now? 5 years old?
What is it? That's
It's getting up there.
It's like 4 or 5 years old.
That's why I know it's good. And I know it's popular, but
it's three.
Oh, it's only 3 years old. Wow.
Okay. 2016.
Wow.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it remains one of those games that, like, okay, I will be honest, I'm not great at it, which is why I tend to do stuff like the arcade mode, which is more kind of chill than like the traditional, of play the real comp. Because like I do this stuff where it's like, oh, you get a random hero. That part of it is because, and I don't begrudge anybody, I understand why. I feel like a lot of people find their hero, their character, and they kind of stick with it. I still kind of enjoy going through the different characters. So it's a good way for me to do that and not necessarily feel guilty about holding the team back while I'm trying to figure out this character.
Right, because it's random. So, like, you can end up with a character you're good with or one you're bad with.
Yeah.
For anybody that's playing.
And the other thing is not only do you, but everybody else does. So you're learning strategy on the fly. Because, like, there might be people who are dedicated healers who then have to be the offensive characters. Or there might be the heavy tank characters who are now support. And they have to figure out how to do that. So it's kind of this fun dynamic where everybody's kind of in this weird... learning curve the entire game. It reminds me of one of my favorite modes in Halo, the kind of Rumble Fiesta, where every time you spawn, you get spawned with two random weapons. So sometimes you might get something like a shotgun and a rocket launcher, which is a killer up close and far away combo. And then sometimes you might get like a pistol and another ninja. What is that really terrible pistol, alien pistol they have?
I don't know.
But yeah. I had a group of friends, so we hop on every few, a couple of times this week and just kind of shoot the shit and enjoy some Overwatch. It's been a while since I played, so I think since I've last played, the hamster character's new, and there might be one other character that's brand new to me, so that was interesting to kind of see. And again, not only learning about this character, but also, if you see them for the first time on the other end, where you're trying to figure out what the hell their attacks are, or especially their specials, and really, sometimes the only time you earn that is when it's too late because they're triggering it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's Overwatch. It's still a ton of fun. Great character work. Still, you know, rock solid game. Yeah.
Cool. That's nice. I like Overwatch, but I am not good at it at all. So,
well, I like it more than Fortnite. I'm not saying much though.
They're different games.
Yeah.
I like thinking like the two like really popular games I don't give a shit about. I'm like,
I think if you were to compare it to something, it would be closer to Apex Legends than Fortnite. And I like Fortnite well enough. My thing is, and it's just maybe just getting up there in age, my brain still cannot micromanage shooting and building.
Yeah. I am terrible at the building in that. And if you are not a builder, you have no chance towards the end of that game.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Oh, well. Let's see what else we got here.
Well, I think we all had Mario Maker 2 on here.
If we wanted to jump
into that.
What do we think? Well, so Earl and I talked about it a little bit last week. So what do you think, Jeff?
I think that Super Mario Maker 2 is fine. Like, it's like, there's a lot of like, you know, it's the better version of this, I think. But, and, you know, it's just, it doesn't have that, like, you know, when Mario Maker 1 came out, it kind of like was surprising how good it was and this and that. And it was like a new thing. And now it's like, okay, you're just giving me a better, like, tool set and shit. Like, it's just not, like I said, it's probably the better version, but it's just not wowing me like the first time I played it. And I have actually zero interest in designing. Like, I actually did come up with one idea for a level, and I went in there and I was like, you know what? I don't feel like learning all that shit again. And I just fucking is like, fuck it. So, yeah, I don't know. I have not been playing a ton. Like, I play it here and there. Usually it's like if I'm watching TV or something, I'll play it on handheld mode. So
yeah, tonight's actually the first night I haven't played it since it came out.
Okay.
I've played about 700 levels at this point. So
holy, wait, does it track that?
So you can do endless Mario.
Yeah. Okay. And
at first I like, so what I was doing is I was like, fuck, I don't want to lose my progress. Like, I'm up around 100 levels, and I was just like kind of throwing it into suspend and then like recharging it. And it was at some point though, I lost connection. I was like, fuck. And like, it was up around 250, 300 levels at that point. And I got all pissed off and just went and finished the story. And then when I went back to start Endless Mario again, it had saved. Like, it saves.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
You know, until you lose all your lives, like, you have. So, yeah, I'm up around close to 600 with that, and then I played a bunch outside of that, and also all, like, not all of the story mode levels, but I beat the story mode, so. I really like it. I haven't built anything yet. We'll see how that goes. I'm enjoying it.
This does not surprise me. Earl, like, what did you think about it? Because I did not hear last week's episode.
Oh, I enjoy it for the most part. I kind of get what you're coming from in that it is like there's new stuff in here, but I feel like if you were a dedicated Mario Maker, like, a lot of it isn't necessarily game-changing. I think the biggest change is, of course, the slopes, which changes a sense of momentum both up and downhill for Mario. But it's still honestly speaking, it's not a ton of competition, but it's still the best maker in the business.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
But I will also say, and there aren't a ton of games, but I do think there are certain games that you realize in hindsight were made for the Wii U. And
very much, yes.
Yes, and this misses that huge thing with being able to create the level on your screen and play it on the TV, because it's either or, and the controller does not replace the touch screen, and the touch screen the touch screen on this doesn't even really replace the touch screen on the Wii U.
Like, with the Wii U, like, you had the stylus, so it was like you were creating with a pen, and this, like, your finger doesn't feel right. There are styluses out there, I guess, that work with the Switch, but
I think that was one of the things too when I went to go into create mode. Like, that was probably one of the things that turned me off. Now that you guys vocalized that for me, I was like, yeah, it was weird. Like, it felt a little off, and that was probably it.
It's the thing that has kept me from diving into and really, like, kind of trying to build anything yet. Cause, like, I didn't build like a ton of stuff, but I was pretty active building stuff when we were playing the first one. And it was just so easy to do.
Because of the way it worked. I think I built like maybe 5 or so levels on the first one. Like, you know, I didn't go crazy with it. I figured it out, and then, like, I had a couple ideas, and I did them. And actually, like, there was at least, like, 2 or 3 levels I made. I was proud of them. Like, that's a decent Mario level. Like, there's an idea there. You kind of, like, fuck with that idea, right?
I think that's the thing. Like, and I, you know, when we were building, we were at least trying to make actual Mario levels. And there are people that are doing that as well, and they're the ones I like the most. Unless, like, they're actual puzzle levels, or, like, people are doing some cool stuff, but there's just people that just, like, I'm gonna throw in 1,000 spinning fireball wheels, and, like, that's not fun.
Also, you know what ones I, like, kind of, like, hate are the ones that, like, throw in all the effects, like, the weird effects at once.
It's, oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I got it, dude. You know how to place the effects all over the level. It's like, I don't know.
Yes, I think, and that's one of the cases of Yes is More, where a lot of people just want to, like, oh, I want everything in this level.
But my favorite levels that people make are, like, ones that just feel like a Mario level. Like when I get one of those, I like it because it's so rare. It's either a gimmick based thing, or it's fucking, like, nonsense, or just really bad, you know.
Yeah,
because
the ones I really kind of enjoy are the ones that are kind of, like, puzzle-esque, where it's like, once it connects, it's like, oh, everything makes sense.
Yeah,
some of the puzzle ones are pretty cool.
Like, there's like a, I had one where Mario was basically a pinball, like, Mario was the ball in a pinball machine. And, like, you would go through the tube, and it would shoot you to the top, and, like, you had to collect a certain amount of coins. And they had, like, secret entrances based on the way you fall, and they had the bumpers, and then there's ones with, like, the super ball, or the on-off blocks. There's some really cool puzzles that they have going on with that.
I will say, yeah, I can't think of anything specifically, like, at this moment, but some of the puzzle ones that people have made, I've been like, wow, dude, that's, like, almost professional. Like, it's pretty cool, like, idea you came up with.
I feel bad because, like, there's a ton of puzzle ones that I've played that, like, I really like them, but I'm playing them in, like, Endless Mario. And if you press A, you kind of jump past it, and so many of them are just like, eh, whatever. I mean, that was fun, but or fuck this. Like, actually, ones that I'm like, fuck this, I just do the boo mechanic on.
Yeah.
But, like, the rest of them are just like, you know, it was fun. It was okay. It was a good attempt, but, like, it's nothing. I'm not going to comment. I'm not going to, give them a problem. And, like, I get in the habit of doing that, and it's like, shit, I really like that level. Those were really cool puzzles, and now I have no way of telling them that I liked it. I wish there was a mechanic for kind of, like, cycling back, like, go back one level, and, like, you can at least, you know, say you liked it or not.
I saw somebody say this, and it is beyond belief. That is not beyond belief. It's Nintendo, but, you know, the big thing with their online is that stupid phone app. And Mario Maker seems like the perfect game to use the phone app for, because you could queue up levels from your friends. You can, you know, look into levels
yes.
that you want to play when you get home or something like that. Or, like you said, like, oh, here's a history of levels you played. Then you can go back and rank them or leave comments on them or something. And it's like, there's no functionality with that app whatsoever for this game.
And that's the other, like when you were talking about like, oh, we can line up things that like your friends play. Why is there a separate fucking ID for creators in this? Why can't I just be like, all right, like, you know, you're playing it, Jeff's playing it. Our friend Chris is playing it. Why can't I just look at my friends list and go, what have these guys created? Instead of, like, I have to like get your creator ID.
It's like you have a friend list on the system. Fucking use it, Nintendo. Like
the friend list is so useless. It's no value at all. Like, I love the game. I really do. It's probably my favorite game this year. But there's so much that is broken about it. It's like just because like their refusal to accept how the internet works.
I think it is like a must-own game. But like I'm just like not like enthused or whatever by it. I'm just like yeah. Obviously you get this. It's fucking Mario Maker. But and like I play it here and there. But I'm just not like.
Well, I think that's what's one of its super strengths, right? Is like. I'm like, all right, I don't need, you know, it's not a traditional Mario game, so you're not like going through the campaign. There is the campaign, but even those levels are not traditional. But it's like a game you can put down and come back to like in a month and like, all right, what's new?
I feel like it's a game, like in my opinion anyways, like it's a game you have to own digitally. Like you need to be able to just access whenever you're just like, I wanna fucking hop in and play this for a second.
Yep.
I don't know. Fine.
All right. Well, let's stick with the. That Super Mario Maker kind of spans a bunch of eras of Mario, but it's kind of like stick with like the old school stuff here. I played Haunted Castle on the Konami Arcade Collection.
All right.
So it's the one non-shmup game. On that collection, it is the arcade version of Castlevania. I beat it, and I got both achievements that are you can get in the game in it. But man, I fucking hate that game. It is brutally hard. Even like using save states, like it is tough as nails. I don't know. It is like it is not the way I want to play Castlevania. I totally understand.
Go ahead.
I totally understand why it's not on the Castlevania collection. And I understand why they gave people the opportunity to play it because it is like a cool history piece, but it is not a good game.
I never heard of this. And I was like, is this not? I thought you like as you were talking about. I'm like, did he say was this on the Castlevania collection?
No, it's on the arcade collection. It's the one weird game that's on there because every other one is like a shooter of some
sort. Yeah.
And I played all of those too. Like I didn't play through them because I'm terrible at those games. But Life Force seemed really cool.
It looks kind of cool graphically. Like it kind of looks like almost like 16-bit for its time. You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know about how it looks in motion or anything. I'm just looking at images of it right now.
And visually, like I think animation-wise, it's pretty cool, and it's like it's almost kind of like inner space in a way. Like the walls and everything are they're alive, and like stuff comes out of them. So it's pretty cool. But Haunted Castle, I don't like it at all.
Does it just feel off in terms of controls then?
It feels okay. It's just that so you have one life. Well, you have three lives per credit. But if you like once you're done, you're done. Like if you die, that's it. And I think they have it so that like you can kind of continue in this package, but when you continue, you lose all your upgrades. So, like, you start off with the regular whip, but you can upgrade it to, like, the chain whip or a sword at some point. And, like, they do more damage to the enemies, And so you're end up like halfway through the game and you have the regular old whip and you have to hit an enemy four times instead of twice and the timing's off. So like you can hardly advance at that point. So I kind of like saved scum my way through by like, I would go through an area as close to perfectly as I could and then save it when I got to the end of it and keep doing it that way. I don't like it though. I'm gonna play the Castlevania Collection next.
Right.
Let's stick kind of with that. You Earl, you played Guacamelee.
Yeah. And this is just one of those weird stories. Not weird stories, but I was waiting for some friends to come on Overwatch. They took their sweet time, so I'm like flipping through my PlayStation 4 games to see what's installed on my system. And I saw Guacamelee, which I remember starting a few years ago, and for some reason I just gave up on it, and I think it was because I got stuck. But like playing like the first 2 hours or so, I'm like, I don't know. Like I got stuck much earlier than that. I'm like, I don't know if I got stuck or I just wasn't paying attention and kind of gave up. But yeah, it's a pretty fun Metroidvania game, if you can call it that. I mean, it is a Metroidvania that you go and you get power-ups and you come back and you can navigate. But like the power-ups are like a headbutt and an uppercut. It's not like super missiles and stuff like that.
Right? Like,
yeah. So yeah, in Guacamelee, if the name does not give it away, you play as a luchador, which the name actually probably wouldn't give away. And so combat is based on wrestling moves. So like, you know, it's like a beat 'em up. You use mostly combos for, you know, hit it, punching and kicking. But like I said, as you level up and as you get better combos, you can do more moves. You can, you know, you can toss enemies if you weaken them enough. You can do like suplexes and stuff like that. So it's a very, it's a very fun feeling kind of Metroidvania. Because a lot of them are, they do kind of, they're based more on either melee weapons like the Castlevania side with the whips and the swords, or they're based more on projectiles like Metroid. So it's nice to get one that you really do get up and close with the enemies. The other thing that this borrows from is, I guess, technically Link to the Past. I don't know if that's the first game to do it, but there is like a spirit world and a normal world, and there's portals that take you in between them. So for the most part, there are sometimes, you know, there are puzzles that take advantage of that, and there's also enemy encounters that take advantage of that, where if an enemy's in either realm, you can't actually physically interact with them, but you see a silhouette of them, so you'd have to jump back to the other one and deal with them there. And then you get into like fighting scenarios where you sometimes are jumping back and forth, or you know, just to deal with those enemies, and as you clear them out, more comes. So it's really fun in that regard. The humor and the writing is very hit or miss. I feel like it's one of those games. I watched The Fast and the Furious, and this sounds like a tangent. I watched The Fast and the Furious, the first movie, yesterday, and you watch that first movie, and it's very much a 2000s movie. Just based off the music choices.
Mm-hmm.
And Guacamelee feels like that. It feels like a game that is very situated in like the time frame it came out. Because there's a lot of like, you know, posters and little hints at like big indie games at the time. And it's like, it's weird because it's very popular and kind of cool at the time. But 5-6 years removed, it's very dated. And it just feels like, oh, this is... I guess that's cool, but like nobody talks like that or no references that anymore. So it's like this really weird snapshot of like internet culture in like 2000. I want to say 2012, 2013.
Sounds about right.
So that is, you know, not a hang up or anything. It's just really fascinating because a lot of games don't tend to be so topical that they don't necessarily age in the same way that a lot of movies do, and that like contemporary movies for the most part pick music and languages from the era that they're in, which is great until you're like 10, 15 years away, and then it becomes a product of its time.
Yeah. I have it. I think I have it through Game Pass.
But... Yes, both of them are on Game Pass.
Yeah.
I think I had this one through PlayStation Plus.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah.
I also played a it's kind of a Metroid type game. At least the part I'm at right now. I've restarted the Messenger. Which was it's kind of like the Ninja
Gaiden.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden, you know, type game from last year, which I loved.
Is this the one that switches between like 8-bit and 16-bit?
Yep. So like it begins off as like an 8-bit game that's very much like, you know, it's a left to right platformer, action platformer, kind of like Ninja Gaiden. And then at some point, you know, there's a couple of bosses, and then it jumps to 16-bit, and then there's a couple more bosses, and it becomes a, you know, different style of game. And that's actually where I'm at right now. But I'm replaying it on PC because the Windows 10 version has achievements. and I was just like, oh, I'll just give it a shot. Like, you know, and I totally sucked back in. The music's great. The writing's awesome. It's really funny. So, yeah, I mean, the game's only a year old, but still excellent. And I believe there's DLC coming for it at some point this year. So I think that was announced at E3. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. We're off the old looking games, old feeling games. Jeff, tell us about the old games you're playing, which aren't as old. Pikmin and Wolfenstein, The Old Blood.
Well, shit. I mean, Pikmin's pretty fucking old at this point, I'd say.
Yeah, but it doesn't have like that. It doesn't have like the pixelated 16-bit look of like Guacamelee or The Messenger. Like, The Messenger's a newer game. Both of those are newer games than Pikmin, but they don't look new.
Pikmin don't fucking look new either anymore. I'll tell you.
Okay.
You play GameCube on a fucking nice new TV, like.
Yeah, you got to get an old TV, Jeff. That's what I did.
It's not good, so much better. I gotta get an old TV. I think it's just it looks bad. Like, but Pikmin still plays great. I really love that fucking first one. I think I started it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got like 20 out of the 30 ship parts to get off the fucking.
Already.
Yeah.
You're blown through that game.
And I'm kind of keeping pace. I think I'm right around the 20th day. I might be on my 19th day or something. Gets tough near the end, though. I forgot about that. Like, just gets like really like. You get put in the situations where it's just like. Everything you built, like all your armies are just gonna get wiped out by annoying ass enemies on your way to shit. But yeah, I just love that first game. I love all of them, but like the thing I love about that first game is it's just like, hey, you have 30 days to find 30 parts. Like, none of the other ones are exactly like that, you know?
Right.
And like, I just love that premise of that, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a fun thing this week. Is like, I was sitting there like, "Hey, man, first off, where's the new Pikmin? When is that ever coming?" I was like, you know, I was supposed to be playing fucking Metroid Prime this year. I was supposed to be playing Animal Crossing this year.
Well, you don't know if you're going to play Metroid Prime this year.
Well, at some point it was promised. Like,
it wasn't promised. It was never dated, though.
I thought it did say.
No, it was never dated.
And then they just completely scrapped it. So
yeah,
I thought they did say 2019 for some reason. Maybe I'm crazy. All right, I was just wishful thinking, but I don't know. I was like kind of stewing about how like. And there hasn't been any like really good, big, great games. So I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I have these like games that I want. Like, I can just replay them again. So I fucking hooked up my GameCube. I love the GameCube. All I've really played so far is Pikmin, though.
That's all right. I plan on hooking mine up to play through Sunshine.
Ugh. What else is on your docket?
As far as GameCube.
Yeah.
I'm obviously going to play Super Monkey Ball. I'm planning to play, thinking about playing Metroid Prime 2, because that was like the one that's gotten like 100 points. And then I actually want to buy, I really want to buy Wario World and Luigi's Mansion. Wario World I've played through before and I actually like. I know some people will think it's not that great, but I like it a lot. And Luigi's Mansion is a game I've tried several times, but I've never played all the way through. Like, I always was just like, oh, whatever, it's not that good.
I mean, I was going to say, that game's like 5 minutes long. It's not that hard to... I mean, that was...
Really, like, short?
Yeah, it's like, I think it's like 5-6 hours or something like that. One of the chief complaints about that game was that, it's too short, but also, I don't know if you played two or have seen three. The first game literally just takes place in that one mansion. So it's not like, there's no grand secret. It's not like a second mansion open or something. It's like that mansion. There's different areas to it, but yeah, that's pretty much that is the entire game's area. But yeah, that was one of the big complaints. It's like, for a launch title, one, it wasn't Mario 64, but also the fact that it was like 6 or 7 hours long. Well, it's like, you can get it for launch, or you can rent it for a weekend and wait for Smash Brothers Melee in three weeks.
Well, that was the other game I wanted. Yeah, that was one of the complaints about it, too, is like Wario World is super short. Like, Wario World might be like 3 hours, dude. But it's like, for what's there though, I like really remember enjoying. Like, I was like not upset that like I paid for, like, you know, I don't know what was full price. It might have been. I think it was. I think that was the thing. And I was like, I was not upset about it though, because I was like, I'll play through this again. But like, just back in the GameCube era, it's like when I was like poor. So I used to always just like sell every game I bought, and then I would buy it back again when it got cheap. And some games did not get like bought back, and that like I have some huge regrets in terms of my GameCube library. Like, I wish I didn't sell that. I wish I didn't sell Luigi's Mansion. Chibi Robo, that's another one. That's a game I loved, and I sold it because I was just like, whatever. The game was so cheap to rebuy; it was like, you know, $10, and now it's probably well over $50.
Didn't I give you pricing on Chibi Robo?
I think you did, yeah. Well, what do you remember being? I thought it was at least like 40 something.
Nah, where was I?
That's gotta be rare, dude. I never ever see that one in shops anymore.
I thought I looked up Chibi Robo. I don't see it now. I don't see what my comment was, but let's see. Yeah, Chibi Robo. When I looked, it was it's kind of like it varies, but I saw someone on eBay like 25 or so.
For the empty case.
No, just for the disc. But
for a disc.
Yeah, like if you wanted the whole thing, like case, box, and manual, it was like 60 to 80. But
that's still, I mean, a lot for a game that's going to feel super dated. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you want it, you know, you want that. I want that perfect collection. I do have some good ones. Like, one that, like, I was, like, always, like, would tout would be Ikaruga, which is not as impressive anymore because it's on everything now.
Right.
But back in the day, if you had Ikaruga in your collection, you were a fucking true GameCube fan. I don't know. I love the GameCube. We should do a whole episode just about GameCube.
Just on GameCube? Yeah, and you also played Wolfenstein: The Old Blood. That's a weird one, right? Like the middle game, like, new Colossus, and the other one.
Yeah, it's like between the first Wolfenstein and the second one. It was just like the DLC, I think, but it was a standalone. Like you know, you could just buy that for $20.
Okay,
I don't know. I was just like, I've just been bouncing around looking for games to play. I mean, obviously, I'm fucking hooking up my GameCube and shit. And I was looking at, like, that Youngblood that's coming out. That's coming out, like, at the end of July, right?
Yep.
And I was like, am I going to get that? And I was thinking about it. And then I saw some, like, Game Informer article where they like rated all or rated they ranked all the Wolfenstein games. And I was like, oh yeah, Old Blood. That was like more like a throwback to the older Wolfenstein games. Like, I should replay that. And so yeah, I started replaying that. I think I'm halfway through it.
Nice.
Awesome. Like, have you played that one?
No, I haven't played that one. And there's another one. There's another like weird DLC one too, right? Like,
is there? That's what I was trying to look up. I was like, I remember there being two, and couldn't find it.
I thought there were two. I don't remember though.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying. I don't know, Earl. Do you play the Wolfenstein games? Oh no, have we lost Earl?
No, he's still here. What's up?
Do you play the Wolfenstein games?
No, I am trying. I think one of them's on Game Pass. I have two or one, and I tried to get into it because everybody seems to love them, but they're so methodical at the start.
They're methodical, I think, kind of.
So I guess that's the charm for a lot of people, and I'm cool with that, but I was just not like the way people talked about it. I was kind of expecting Doom, where it's a lot more fast paced and twitchy, and not like this, oh, go into a room, kill some enemies, navigate an area, find more enemies nearby sometime soon. So yeah, I guess I will try it again with that mentality that I am.
I mean, you didn't like this reboot as much, right?
I don't love it as much as some people do. Like, I think
I like really dig these games.
I think that the shooting just feels a little off. Like, but yeah, I mean they're fine. I don't love them like some people do. But.
I did not love Wolfenstein 2 that much. But I was impressed by like the new order because it was just like wow, like they, you know, it felt like one of these like things where it's like oh, they like reimagined what this series can be, you know, like it's like the Tomb Raider reboot or any, you know, something like that, right?
Right.
But I'm really like I've always been like kind of a fan of like the old first person shooter, so like this having more of that vibe a little bit, like the old what's it called the Old Blood,
mm-hmm.
Really digging it. Yeah, I don't know. It can get kind of difficult at points, but, like, you can adjust the difficulty whenever you want. So, like, if I ever get, like, in a jam, because, like, it'll sometimes auto-save when you're in, like, a bad spot. That's one thing I, like, kind of don't like about it. Wish you could just save when you wanted. They'll, like, auto-save, or, like, you'll beat a level with 20 health, and you start the next level with whatever health you had. So you're like, oh, shit, I fucked up. Sometimes I'll be like, all right, I'm lowering difficulty here for a second. Help me get out of this situation. I don't know. Yeah, I'm really digging it. Like I said, I'm like halfway through that. You actually go into Castle Wolfenstein in it. Like, that's kind of like, you know, I was like the whole first half of the game, that's what you're doing. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. That's exactly what I want.
Nice. All right. Earl, you put down a few news pieces here.
Yes. I think the big one that we should at least get to is the Switch Lite.
Yeah.
Which is the constantly rumored throughout the year revision of the Nintendo Switch, which is mostly only a handheld version of the Switch. It is slightly smaller. I think the Switch is 6.5, and this is like 5.9.
Okay.
The Joy-Cons do not detach. It's so the system is one unit. It has a controller built in. The controller has a D-pad on it instead of directional buttons like the Joy-Cons do, and it does not connect to TV. Which is, honestly, to me, the only fatal flaw of this is, like, not that it doesn't connect to the TV, but that it's not even future-proof to connect to the TV?
Yeah. It's like you can't do it at all, right?
Yeah, like it seems like if it's smart money, could you charge $200 for this? And let's say in 6 months somebody wants to connect it to the TV, it's like, oh, buy our $80 piece of plastic for a dock, but he's then I get
yeah,
it.
Like you can't like upgrade it. I get what you're saying, Kyle. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no path towards that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like instead, like, all right, you bought this $200 piece of hardware. If you want to connect it to the TV, you need to now buy a $300 piece of hardware.
Yeah.
But if you're like, all right, it's worth saving $100 to like all the, like, I know some people are like don't play on a TV at all. Like, I'm definitely not that person. I'm almost the opposite of that. But fuck it. I mean, if you don't care about that, any of that shit, you know, and you just want to play the games, whatever, it's an option, right?
Oh, yeah, and I think it will do well. I think there's a huge market. I mean, we've seen the 3DS and the DS and stuff. Even the Vita, there's a market for a dedicated handheld. And unlike any of those, because it's already had 2.5 years of console-level support from Nintendo and indies and third parties, is an amazing backyard of games. Like,
yeah, it's like,
I mean, like, literally, you can buy this thing in September. You get a new Mario, a new Zelda, 2 Pokemon games, Mario Kart. You know, you have Skyrim and Doom. The flip side of that, though, is the Switch is not the most powerful system in the world. The Switch handheld version is even worse than the Switch docked. So you are going to get a lot of games that are just really questionable. Let's go with that. Performance-wise, on handheld-only mode. But I think, again, for the audience that you're going for, if that's the audience that picks this up, they aren't going to necessarily be the people who care too much that it's sub-HD or that it's not a consistent EOC frame rate.
I mean, go ahead.
I know, as long as you can kind of play these games on the go, and I mean, I think the biggest hurdle for Nintendo outside of hopefully finding a way to hook it up to the TV is going to be account management, because then if you're somebody who wants to have a Switch at home and a Switch you can play on the go, you're going to want access to your games.
Yes.
Did they not have it solved yet?
They have a solution to it, which is similar to the PS4, but I don't necessarily know how that works on handheld when you need a constant internet connection. Because with your consoles, like they're stationary. They're always hooked up to the internet. So like they do the background checks for you without you noticing. Where with the Switch, if it's handheld mode, you're going to need Wi-Fi for them to check to see, like, oh, yes, this person does have access to this game.
Right, but works in handheld mode now? Like, if I pull my Switch off my dock and I'm not connected to the internet and I want to play a digital-only game.
But what I mean, though, is that that's different because you own that system. What I'm talking about is like people who own a Switch that's docked.
Yeah, like I own the dock. I have a dock version. I'm buying a handheld.
Right, right. So yeah, if I buy a handheld and I want to play, let's say I want to play Smash, I can download that to my handheld.
Yeah.
But I can only play it if I'm connected to the internet.
Well, I mean, okay, I can't speak for Nintendo. I definitely cannot speak for Nintendo as far as online goes. What I would imagine, I mean, I assume ideally what you would do is, again, if you have PlayStation 4, I think this is very similar to the setup, is you'd make the handheld version your primary system. So it doesn't need to check that you are you.
Yeah.
And then you'll make your home console secondary, so you can play it when you need to.
Yeah,
and there's no competing.
that's kind of what I do with my two Xboxes here. Is like the one my son plays on, I have set as our primary, and then he has access to. I mean, that's not necessarily how this works with the Switch, but like he then has access to all the games I have in our library.
Yes.
But then only I have them on the X in the other room, because that has to check and make sure it's be the
your account. Yeah, and I think that's how the Switch works as well. I assume with your son that even though yours is set as the primary, like he plays under his account, but yes. Because the primary is there, it's like has access to every game on the system.
Yes.
Where like, you can only play with your account. Like if you had a secondary account on your Switch, it wouldn't access those games. Okay. Or on your Xbox, I should say.
Yeah, no. Yeah. If I want to play on like my other account, I have to go up to the other machine.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's how it works. And I'm hoping that's what they're going to stick with. I mean, ideally what you would do is just stick to physical for now. But for those who don't have that option, and I mean I think there's a lot of to be said for handheld mode only. There's a lot. I mean, outside of that though, on paper, it seems like a very, very solid device, and it doesn't seem to be handicapped in any way by Nintendo, which sometimes happens outside of the TV thing, because like it takes away HD rumble, but that wouldn't make sense with a system itself, because you're just going to feel the system vibrate. There's no real differential, and it takes away the IR camera, which I don't know anything outside of Abo that uses that. I don't even know if people remember the system has IR camera.
Yeah,
I did not. I know there's an IR port on like what the right.
Yeah, on the right. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's yeah. So it's supposed to gauge distance and stuff, and as far as I know, the only games that use that in any meaningful way is Abo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like two things to take away. Like HD Rumble's cool, but like honestly, outside of like the launch window, I don't know many games that actually took advantage of it.
Right. Maybe 1, 2, 3 Switch, but you wouldn't be able to play in handheld mode anyway. So.
Yeah, and that's going to be the other thing. Like one, two Switch, Yabo, and I think there might be one or two other first party titles don't work in handheld mode.
The Mario Party doesn't work
in handheld mode. Mario Party, yes, that's another one that does not work in So yeah, that's going to be the other thing, is that there are going to be games you can't play in this fashion, and yeah, like there's no man about it. It's gonna be that weird DSi thing where it's like you have to really pay attention to like, is this game compatible? And
they'll probably put up a warning screen, I would imagine, before you buy like Super Mario Party. It'd be like, hey, stop. You know, like, do you have?
Yeah, but
well, digital.
That, yeah, digitally, physically, you don't necessarily have that.
True.
But yeah, and also the other thing is I actually do like the colors they come in. It's like a charcoal gray. It's a green teal color.
Yeah, I like
and,
that.
And then like a banana yellow one.
I say like if you don't own a Switch, buy a real Switch because like.
Oh yeah, I think
the system awesome, and if you have a Switch, there's not much of a point to buy this.
No, if you have a Switch, there's no reason to get. I will be honest. I mean, part of it is because I've had this discussion with several friends by now. One, I would say in the past maybe 20 years, this is probably the most clear and concise Nintendo has ever named the product. It is usually called a Switch Lite, and that to me implies that you are not getting a full-featured Switch.
But you can't even Switch.
Well, yeah. But to be fair, I think a lot of people think of Switch as a brand more than they think of it as the core concept of the system.
It's called Switch Zero.
Yeah, but it's called the Switch, but it's kind of like the Wii, which was like all of us in this. Nobody cared what that meant after a year.
Not Switch Zero, Jeff. It should be Zero Switch.
Yeah, or no Switch, or Switch Off. But
that's a good one.
But yeah, it implies that you are getting a trimmed down Switch. And honestly speaking, I think the people this is a huge market for are the people who, I mean, honestly, one, I think it's for kids. I think it's something that
it's
think
like a handheld solution for kids. Like,
yeah, I think it's something that parents will be a bit more comfortable. It's cheaper than a Switch. I think parents are a bit more comfortable with this. There's less chances of you losing something or having something break.
There's no separate pieces. So
yeah.
Hey, Mom, I lost my right Joy-Con.
It's like, you think about it, at $200, that's like the price of what like a DS XL was, you know? So it's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's but, exactly the price of a DS XL.
Yeah, yeah. But you're getting to play like console games, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I think
to,
this...
You're getting to keep up with like the new Nintendo games. Like, it's,
yeah.
It's a fine solution for that, but I'm just like, I'm just the person that says... Yo, pay the extra $100 and fucking do it right.
No. I agree with you. I agree with you 110% because you pay that extra $100, you get a system that you can hook up to your TV whenever you want.
And some games run better in TV mode. Yeah.
Most games run better in TV mode.
Yeah.
But I think of it, especially when it's coming out, I see this as a thing for like children, but I also see this as a thing for Animal Crossing fans and Pokemon fans who are just accustomed to playing these games on handheld anyhow. I'm not saying it's a, like it's going to be
just buy it just for that. Basically.
Yeah, like just like this is my Animal Crossing device. I can take it with me to work. I can play if it's in my bag. If it's in my, I don't know if it's going to fit in your pockets. I don't know any handheld that actually fits in your pocket. Maybe one of the Game Boy Micro.
I can fit the 3DS in my pocket.
Oh, yeah, because it had the clamshell design.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I couldn't fit the Game Boy in my pocket or the, or the Game Boy Advance or anything like that. But, yeah, I think it's for that audience. It's for those people. Because I think there was a stat that came out today from NPD that of Switch owners, only 25% of them own 3DSs. Hmm. So that means that there is... Wait, I think it's like 25% of 3DS owners own a Switch, which means that in the States alone, there's something like...
There's an untapped market.
Yeah, there's a huge untapped market.
Like these people you're trying to get back.
Yeah. And you still get a lot of the other options because you still get, you know, a lot of the local multiplayer options. So like if you want to play Mario Kart 8... It's the same way that you play Mario Kart 7. Splatoon, same thing. And again, if you're a parent, it's probably cheaper to buy. I mean, it is cheaper to buy four of these than it would to be like buy each kid their own Switch.
Yeah, you'd save $400.
Yeah, there's a lot of upside to it, and. I think this is always the hard part to differentiate. It's not for us, because the three of us all own Switches already.
Yep.
But yes, if given the option, I'm gonna spend that extra $100. the same way that you know I have an Xbox One S, or the same way I have a PS4 Pro. You kind of want the best of the best.
Yeah.
But I also understand that we are not the predominant demographic of the industry.
The only way it's for us is if we're trying to be excessive and be like, you know what? That's going to be my on-the-go Switch.
Yeah, but even that I know I used the example earlier, like if you have a Switch at home and you have a Switch that, but yeah, even that seems very excessive because I'm like,
very excessive.
My Switch already, like, I already, even before I bought the Switch,
like,
I got a carrying case for that thing. So I'm like, that thing goes with me where it needs to go. It's worked wonders for me for 2.5 years. Like,
absolutely.
Nothing to make, oh man, I need a Switch to carry with me now.
Yeah, no, my Switch goes everywhere.
So I guess that's another option, though. It's like, if you have a family that's like, oh, we have a Switch at home, but let's say like you're married and your partner wants to take the other Switch or wants to take the, like, who gets the Switch? Do you buy two different Switches? Or is it like, okay, we'll just have like one family account in the other room and then everybody gets their own tiny Switches.
And then you can play Mario Kart or some shit. Like,
yeah. The only thing I do wonder, now that you mentioned Mario Kart, is, well, I guess, I don't know if that works. I was going to say, can you then hook that up to this main Switch so you can play on the TV? Or would you just play on your screen?
I think you could use your Switch like as a controller. Like, yeah, I think you can. Right?
No.
Wait. Yeah, I don't. I think the Switch is the Switch is the Switch. So like you would still just play on your Switch.
Oh, okay.
I think
like you'd have the main TV one, and then my three kids have a Switch, but I'm playing on like Pro Controller, but they're all playing on their Switches.
You could do that, right?
Yeah, they would all have to be connected to the internet. And we'd be playing that way.
Ah,
okay. Like, I don't think it would create a four-player split screen on my TV. Okay. I think I would have the big TV. They would each be playing on their screens. I don't know, though. Like, we haven't touched it, and that's not going to happen. I'm not buying $600 Switches for my kids that would play games.
But you could if you wanted to.
I could. You're exactly right. Was there any Pokemon Sword Shield news? I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, there was a new trailer this week, which introduced the concept of Gigantamax, or I forget what it's called, but it's different from Dynamax, which is like the Pokemon become giant, but now with Gigantamaxing, I think that's what it's called. Okay. It's like they become bigger, but they can also change forms. Mm-hmm. So like you had a Raspberry Shortcake type of Pokemon, which is more like the cream filling, and then it Gigantamaxes into an actual like 5-layer cake.
Oh,
yeah, it's a really, I mean, it's a really cute, stupid design, but I'm all for it. I'm also one of those people who likes Vanilla Knight, so I mean, it's like the Vanilla Ice Cream Pokemon family. Mm-hmm. They introduced some new Pokemon, and I think for me personally, the biggest thing they introduced here is that this is the first generation that you can have exclusive gyms. So there will be, I don't know if it's one or if there's multiple ones, but there's a section of the game at least that they showed where Sword will have one gym leader and Shield will have one gym leader.
Oh, so the games will actually be different and not just like mirror images.
Yeah. And it's not just like, oh, this is a different, it's like one of them. I think the one in, I'm not going to remember which is which, but one is a ghost type Pokemon train and the other one is like a fighting type Pokemon. So it's not even like, oh, it's just different characters. It's like different characters, but also different types of Pokemon that they deal with.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's, I mean, as far as I can tell, that's the first time that's happened in the game, the franchise. So, yeah, that was the big takeaway from that. I believe that was it with Pokemon.
There's a co-op mode in the new
was it Man of Maiden or something like that? The new Supermassive game.
Yeah.
And the only reason I bring that up, because co-op isn't anything new in video game, is that I could be wrong. I don't remember co-op being in like a narrative driven game. I don't know. If you've played Until Dawn, you know, you're just controlling a character. And as situation arises, you really react to them. And so if you played that, if you played Heavy Rain, or any of those games. So with this one, it has two types of co-op mode. There's online co-op, which is for two players. And you both take control of two different characters. And you kind of hit the story simultaneously. So sometimes you're together and you make decisions together. And sometimes you split off into... They're known for horror adventure games. So you might split off into groups. So one person might check out the woods and one person might check out a cabin.
Right.
And, so your decisions can influence the other person later on and stuff like that.
That's cool.
The other one is a couch co-op mode for 2 to 5 players. And this is kind of a hot potato mode. So essentially what happens is everybody controls a character. So, like, you know, like, I'm trying to... Let's use superheroes. So let's say I'm Batman, Chris is Superman, and Jeff is Spider-Man. When Batman's on screen, I would take the control and control him and make any of the decisions.
Got it.
When Superman showed up, you would do it. And so it's up for 5... So every time that character shows up, you are that character. and then you would just, that's one controller, so you just give that person the controller and they would do it. So that's another nifty kind of co-op element. So I'm really curious to see how this all plays out.
I like that idea because, like, sometimes I'll have friends over and it'd be like, that'll be something cool to do. Like, hey, we're going to play this like narrative game because we like narrative games, but they're not really great to play as a group. And being able to kind of like everyone kind of gets to make a decision and actually play the game.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I know a lot of people who do that where they play narrative games together and it's like, okay, somebody has to make a decision, but it's always going to end up being the person with the controller.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I know couples who do that where they will play. I know a couple that did that with Until Dawn. They would make the decision together, but you don't have a lot of time to react.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's great that they kind of took the feedback from that game and incorporated it into their new franchise with Bandai Namco. The other thing that came out is that this is an anthology series.
Yes.
And this is the first of what they said they have planned right now, 8 games. Their intentions is to do like 2 a year.
Okay.
So we'll see. That's a very aggressive schedule. My one hope is that, because, you know, it's not like it's impossible. A Telltale did that and Travia Tales with the Ego game. But both of those games are from the same thing. It's like once is a fundamental problem because you're just kind of building, there's no time to fix it.
Right. So when in Telltale specifically, like their engine was garbage from the start with The Walking Dead, and it never improved.
Nope. And it only got worse because like you would get better looking games that your engine clearly could not handle.
Right.
And there would, especially with Batman, there'd come points where like the game would just freeze up because it could not handle what's going on, and it would eventually catch up like 5 minutes later.
I really liked Until Dawn. I'm really looking forward to Man of Medan. It comes out on my birthday, so
August 30th for $30.
I'm down with that. That's an excellent price.
I think it's especially for an anthology. I can't imagine it's going to be like maybe 4 to 5 hours. So it's a great thing. And, you know, with these games out of it is just replaying it and making different decisions to see how it plays out. And I actually think that benefits shorter games, really.
Yeah. And last piece of news about Cuphead.
Oh, yes. So it was announced this week that Netflix is in production of a Cuphead animated comedy series, which it's, I mean, also just as an aside, now that I'm thinking about it as well, we never did talk about The Witcher, a TV show, have we?
No. I've seen some of the images.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, the images came out, I think, between the last episode and this one, where we saw like the first look at some of the characters.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
it
looks good.
Yeah,
like you have to see the emotion and stuff like that, but the posters are good.
Yeah, like still images, they seem to have captured the characters pretty well.
Yes, but yeah, getting back to Cuphead. So yeah, it's going to be an animated series on Netflix. And my two fears with this is one, like I said, it's going right now. It's an animated comedy, and I love comedy. I think comedy's great, but I don't know what type of animated comedy it's going to be, because a lot of that stuff, you know, you get your I'm thinking of stuff like Teen Titans Go or Rick and Morty, where it's like they're good shows, but their animation quality is crap.
Yeah. And Cuphead has a very specific
style. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much that early animation.
And that is not a cheap style to replicate.
No.
That is my chief concern. It's like, I don't want them to have at... Because it's like, you know, it's like...
It's got to be good if you're going to do it.
Yeah, because like, the animated style really is the game's personality. Because the other thing it's known for is being difficult. And you can't really translate that to a TV show.
Yeah, like, I don't want Cuphead to look like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Like, that would be weird. You want it to look like that early animation style.
Yeah. So I am really curious to see what comes of that. I mean, also, but it's animation, so we probably won't hear about it again for like a year and a half.
In the way Netflix drops stuff, it'll just pop out. Like, here it is.
And I guess the other thing is that the fact that Cuphead apparently was popular enough to actually warrant a Netflix TV series is a game that came out last year.
They sold 4 million copies or something of it.
Yeah. So I also have to say, and this is just a minor pet peeve. I like the fact that it's called a worldwide phenomenon. 4 million in the grand scheme of things isn't a big number.
No, I mean it's
great.
A decent amount, but.
Yeah, it's great for Cuphead, but I mean, it's not a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, I think more people see a Marvel movie in the opening weekend.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good on them, though. I hope that turns out good. So,
yeah.
Maybe I'll. I mean, it'll be on Netflix. I'm sure to at least check out one episode of it. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to say. Because their Castlevania show is amazing, so.
Yeah, I need to watch season two of that.
Oh, you should. It's the other thing, I guess, is, and we won't know until we know. Is because like one of the reasons Castlevania works is because it's like 4 episodes, so you can throw all your money and animators towards doing that in no time.
Yeah, like if Cuphead comes out with 4 like really good looking. Classic animation episodes, like that's fine. But yeah, if they come out with like, you know, 18 of lesser quality, that's not going to be as good.
And also, I've not played Cuphead yet, but there's no voice acting in it, is it?
Jeff?
I think Jeff has left us.
he's muted. I have not played Cuphead either. I've just watched visuals of it. I don't believe there is. Maybe like the main enemy, like the Satan type creature guy. But I don't think the actual cups talk. Cuphead or Mughead, is that his name? Mugman, the other one. Yeah. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. Yeah, we did lose Jeff now. He's back. He's gone.
He's gone.
Anyway, I think that's a wrap for tonight. That seems to be all the news. Next week, Marvel Ultimate Alliance comes out next week, but it won't be out until
yeah. It's on my Switch. It's ready to go. Just waiting for them to give me that okay.
Yeah.
Because I did that Nintendo Switch voucher program, so I'm good. Just, you know, I'm just waiting for you to say go, and then we're off to the racetracks.
So we will have not that. I'm not sure we'll have.
It depends. I mean, if we're recording this late, who knows? I might start it up while we're recording.
You might have some early first impressions for us, so we'll be back next week. Maybe over the weekend we'll be able to get together with Tony and play some Gears or something.
Yeah. So.
All right, Earl, say good night.
Good night. Good fight.